on.
But will we get to enjoy any of this, like, meta podcasting since we'll be dead?
Yeah, because, okay, so, if you're just tuning in.
Which you are, because I just hit record.
Yeah. You are all feral fans who are going to find us, kill, and eat us.
Yeah.
Then.
Because we're going to say our address on main.
On live, our full address.
Yeah.
And then you kill us, you eat us, absorbing our podcast essence. Then.
Oh, we're adding some magic to this. I don't know about that.
No, it's the same. This is exactly what I've been saying this whole time. And then true crime podcasters are gonna, in a similar way, devour that story in their true crime nature, kind of absorbing us. And then our essence and souls will kind of go into the true crime podcast network, and then video essayists will make video essays about how toxic true crime is about those episodes.
About and then how exploitative the episodes them, of the podcast then, about us are.
And
yeah.
then it kind of, and then we get into, and then it becomes gossip, and then gossip podcasts kind of eat us, and then we just spread, and we keep spreading until we are all podcasts. And then we kind of, and then it's like everything made from then on kind of includes a little bit of us.
Yeah. Man, the death of podcasts is really going to hit us hard, huh?
But by that point, we have hopped so many different forms of media. Like, there'll be a book that is written about about.
You think they're still going to make books?
This is kind of, it's kind of like a Neuralink. It's like uploaded directly into your brains. Yeah. So then people are just uploading us into their brains, and then we kind of become this, like, a ghost in the AI kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, we're a ghost in radio waves. And the only way to beat us is to kill all technology. But then someone writes down the story of it, and then that is kind of the sequel bait, because we then exist in the writings after everyone has stopped using technology.
I don't know if I
want to
haunt a book. That feels really limiting.
Well,
you know,
no, because
it feels like I won't have enough freedom to move around.
Can I pitch something?
Please.
So we exist in the machine. We become all machines because we were killing Ian by the fans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then they find out the only way to stop us is to just turn off all the machines and turn off all tech immediately, because we've now grown so much that we exist in everything.
Right.
And then someone tells a story about that. Little do they know. We get brought back and exist in that story. So we then end up carrying on. And then it kind of, and then the end of the world happens because it's us still.
Are we evil? Are we ending the world? Or are we just
You could be whatever you want. I'm going to be evil. If I'm killed and eaten and then I find out that I can jump my soul between, like,
pieces
people telling our story.
Yeah.
I'm already here. I mean, I'm just going to go full evil. I don't know why I would kind of dance around it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, just skip to full evil.
Yeah. So I think the most horrifying thing that just happened is, as soon as I said that, your mic started crackling and a big type of frequency ass static started coming through as you were talking.
I'm already starting as the thing.
Yeah. No, and I'm going to say it's still going on and you are
is
starting.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh.
It genuinely freaked me out that it started the second that we decided we were going to be ghosts of the machine.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing else you could do. Usually when that's happening, I can hear it and I don't hear it. That might be...
I don't know. Who knows?
Are you still hearing like...
Oh,
like,
I'm hearing
crackle?
It like crazy. It's not even a crackle. It's like... It's like static and crackle that is kind of like extending and echoing your voice.
What
it's
the?
Really weird. I'm wondering maybe if you just unplug and plug your mic back in, then it will be fixed.
Try that.
You, of course, don't have to, and I'll just kind of do, because this is what you're going to sound like when you're the ghost, so.
Or is it the same, just quieter?
Oh, that's perfect. That's fixed. That's fixed immediately.
Okay. I think then the volume just got kicked up or something.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, see, that's exactly what we're going to sound like.
That's what we'll sound like.
I had two different cold opens that I could have swung at you.
Yeah, well, give them both to me, and I'll judge them.
Okay. One is, should we start saying the... Should we start talking like those fake... like, you know when people pre-record things and then they pretend it's live? The New Year's Eve shows and stuff like that? Where yeah. they're like, on this beautiful New Year's Eve, or game shows that are like, on this Friday night, and it's like they're recording on a... on a Tuesday morning and they've also said that like 15 times that day. I was wondering if we should start saying like, oh, I'm horned up on this Friday morning, and
yeah,
then
even
people
though
can
we're
pretend
not horny, and we're just lying to the people about
people
how horny we
have,
are.
People could have fun like being like, we'll say I'm horned up on this Friday, and they're like, wow, it's like I'm really there, and I feel like it'll make it more immersive.
Yeah, are you guys into that? Are you guys, hey guys?
This is a very kind of listener forward episode, yeah. I think.
Hey guys, why? How come you never answer back?
You never answer back.
You?
So
you never
let us know if you want us to. If it will be exciting for you if we start referring to stuff as the day this comes out. Also, let us know if you're going to kill and eat us so we can all become part of the machine.
Oh, don't tell me that. I want to be surprised.
I need to plan ahead. I'll be more
but
spiritual.
Not to avoid getting killed and
no.
eaten.
You no, I'll allow. Well, because I need to read up more on dark magic so I can really kind of get in there.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I'll just live forever out of pure force of will.
Because you can do that. I don't think I have that strength in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to have some. It's like the stupid argument that people do when they're like, oh, who do you think would win, this superhero or Batman? And they're like, does Batman have prep time? And it's like, no, dumbass. Obviously he doesn't. It's a fight. Because they believe Batman having prep time immediately makes him immortal to all things, which is the stupidest fucking argument.
Well, honestly, that's Batman's fault. That's Batman the comic's fault. Because they set us up to believe that this man can do anything with enough prep time.
With enough prep time. Which is ridiculous. But however, even though that is stupid, with prep time, I do think I could become an Eldritch God. So just let me know.
You can just give me like a week.
Just literally just tell me you're on your way. Like, I don't even need a week. Just like, hey, just letting you know, I'm heading out the door to come and eat you. I'll be like a week or like a couple days. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I can cram for finals. Finals being the final thing.
Final minutes of life. Your final act.
The kind of the world's final act, because I do intend to end it.
The world, then I effectively end with it. And
No, you misunderstand. We live on, but in an evil way.
Oh, through
whereas,
the technology
like, aliens,
that no one's using?
Aliens.
Who are we going to talk to?
Aliens, when they come back, we are like the apocalypse of this current story, the end of this world and all humans. And then we are the prequel / opening shots of an alien movie where aliens come to this planet and they discover like a cassette tape and they're like, fascinating. And then they listen to it, and then we get into their tech, and we take them
over. Yeah, because it's the story of how everything ended. So obviously we'll be a huge part of it.
Well, we exist in all tech, so they could listen to anything. I mean, they could.
No, it's going to be the story of how everything ended, which will contain our essence, because we are such a big part of it.
Although I agree, I think that the first thing they find needs to be something like a song, something so normal. And then when they listen to the story of how everything ended, it's already too late. Like, we're already there and have been for, like, weeks.
Oh, so, like, we come through like, you know, a decent Cher album. And
specifically that, yeah, that's what I think this movie is, a decent Cher album.
Yeah.
Why don't movies start? Because it is always like we find out that the alien like species died and then this is their final recordings. Why don't they do like a decent Cher album? Why don't they make alien music up? I think that would be fun. Has anyone tried that, making up some cool alien music?
Hey, people who make movies.
Hey, listeners who make movies. How come?
How come you're never writing cool alien music by hit artists akin to Cher?
Akin to a decent Cher album. Not her best. That's unrealistic. Not her worst. That's also unrealistic. No, middle of the road Cher album. Yeah.
Fine.
Can you name me a decent Cher song? One that's just like not good, not bad. It's just completely middle of the road.
I can actually. A middle of the road Cher song?
A middle of the road Cher song.
Yeah. Ooh, decent Cher song?
Mm-hmm.
Walking in Memphis. Decent Cher song?
Yeah.
Strong enough.
Okay, so now, here's the thing. It is this whole album. It's a decent Cher album. So, like, is this just decent? It's fine. None of
decent
the big heavy hitters.
Decent Cher album.
Because this is what the aliens find. Because I know nothing about, I know nothing about Cher. I know, like, I know Do You Believe in Life After Love, but that's
Which is a fucking outstanding banger. A crazy banger. Sick ass song. Yeah, okay, you know what? I feel pretty confident. Believe is gonna be the decent album.
Okay. There we go, gang. So write an alien album akin to Cher's Believe. Thank you so much. Let us know, and we'll kind of put it in kind of alien.
We'll get it on their radar. Ways. Yeah, we'll get it on their radar. We'll just get it out there so that, you know, when they eventually come here, which will be, I hope not too long after we end the world. I hope it's like, I hope we have.
Oh, I hard disagree. I need us to be like ruins. I need us to be like 50,000 years before. Because we are immortal, so we're dormant. It's like we kill the last person. We live like a couple weeks. We can hang out for a bit. And then it's like, okay, well, let's just go sleep mode until someone finds us.
Do we think that that's actually a part of being immortal, is being able to be dormant through long stretches of time?
I mean, we're in the machine. If the machine isn't turned on, we're essentially like...
But we also exist in story. You said we could be in books and like exist in songs.
I think we exist whilst being read or spoken about.
Oh, my God.
That's when we exist. So then when the last people die, there is one radio playing in an abandoned building in Manhattan. and we exist in that understanding that we're going to... Yeah. It will be like the last few weeks that we will see each other for another like 50, 60,000 years before an alien finds us.
All right.
And then we reawaken so far in the future... like a little degrade. I would like to think we're a little like degraded, so we are even more unstable and mad. But then they find out that we have this sad story where we were murdered and eaten.
Yeah. I'm gonna be nice. I know you're
where
gonna.
And you're gonna be the thing that will eventually stop me in the end because I'm gonna try to kill everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem is, I think the problem is because in this state, it's really hard for us to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like, we can communicate with people through the technology, but how do we reach one another?
It's kind of this thing where we exist as the same being, which is tough.
Yeah.
But then, like, so far in the future, they kind of separate. They find out that there are two voices and they separate us. And they will isolate one of us. It's either they isolate you and then you're on the like protagonist's, like you're on a Walkman on the protagonist's like character model, and they're listening to you whilst they're like fighting the evil empire, because I have then taken over all of that all of their androids I've taken over as well. Or they isolate me and I do a Magneto in X-Men 2. Where I there's a tiny thing that I'm able to get out.
in a home game of D&D that I GM'd once, I...
You did this exact plot.
I gave the players two sentient coins.
Fascinating.
That were brother and sister, and they could communicate telepathically with the people in the party, but they couldn't hear each other because they're objects that can't do that. And so I just did it because it would be fun to watch my players like relaying messages and struggling to manage conversation between these two siblings.
That's fun.
Yeah. But that's what this will be like.
I'm picturing a scene where the protagonist has you in her ear as a like a Walkman that they're playing. And I'm on a CRT monitor and we're trying to communicate with each other, knowing that we have to have a middleman. And it's one of the more turning points of the film. This is a good movie. I'm getting excited about it, talking about it. It's a cool film.
I can't wait to do it.
Yeah. I know. Oh my God. Our life is a movie. Our life's a fucking movie, dude. It's a good flick, because then that is like, there's this moment when you realize that I have broken out of containment. I think maybe we're both contained. You're in the Walkman. I'm in the CRT monitor. This alien, you know, this alien species has... like, this one girl, this, like, character... I don't know how she gets the Walkman, but I'm thinking it's, like... Maybe it's a thing where you refuse to talk to anyone else except for her. So then she's kind of thrown into it. She's maybe around the like 19 to 25 range. We need to and then as this conversation is relaying, I let something slip and you're like, oh my God, they're out. And then I'm in a speaker behind, like I'm in a speaker outside of the containment thing. Because I was able to get through the headphones or something, like someone slipped up somewhere.
And I'm just oh my God, I can hear them.
Yeah. I hear them outside of the room. Yeah. And then it's like, oh shit. And then the character needs to run away as I'm feeding myself through the wires as she's like full sprinting out of the facility.
I'm closing through the wires trying to like sever cords and like burning out breakers.
I'm like slamming like chamber doors to try to trap her in. But then you're slowing me down and trying to contain me in a zone, and it's very good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good. It's really good. I want this to be so clear. Whoever kills Anitsis, your name will not be remembered in this story.
Yeah, you're gonna have to fall on that sword. You're gonna
You do have to kill and eat us. If you don't eat us, it doesn't work. Yeah, like the eating is a part of it.
And like, whatever, we're gonna be delicious. Like,
yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good food. We're good meat.
I'm. We're bristly, still good I'll meat. I'll tell you that. I got some gristle on me.
There we go. If you like gristle, Dylan's right up there. Go for Dylan.
And if you want something gamey, Robin is gonna have exactly what you need. So bring a friend.
Yeah. So bring someone who either likes gristle or
maybe it's because you're eaten by somebody who's evil. And I'll be eaten by somebody who's pure.
No, but we get our stories get told. That's part of it. It's that our stories are told. That's how we. You're still killed and eaten, though.
But the spin on the story will change us. You know, like, I know, right. I know you're hell-bent on convincing me that you're an evil person already, but that's not true. But
no,
if
but
an
I
evil
think it
person
would be fun.
Were to eat you and then would be responsible for telling your story, the slant they would give your story...
Is that
would,
I was good?
It would be that you are... would be more evil, and so you
But
would
if
become...
they're evil...
Yeah.
Then, if they're evil, then surely that they would say that I was evil... To be like, I had to kill and eat them, I'm a good guy.
No.
Oh, wait.
No, they're just going to tell your story with an evil twist because they're so, their morality is compromised. And so they're going to tell it with an evil twist and it's going to change you through the story.
It shifts how I work.
The story keeps us alive, but does it preserve us?
And then there is very much like there's this ship of Theseus like question. Yeah. And the final shot of the trilogy, it's a trilogy. The final bit of the
trilogy, come on,
is the we have both burnt out. We have succumbed. We're either trapped or like she was able to stop us, this girl. She's now like I'm thinking like the 35 to 40 range. Like it is like a decade, maybe 2 decade long story. And at the end, like, we are either trapped, again contained, but now united together again, so we kind of, like, level each other out, or we are fully just burnt out and destroyed. And then the final thing is that they, because the whole thing takes place on Earth in, like, you know, 50,000 years. 50,005 years. We're dying in 5 years, by the way. Oh, no, it takes 5 years for the Earth to die. So 50,000 years.
Yeah.
It takes place on Earth, in the ruins, in the shell of Earth. And she finds, like, either a USB or a CD, and she pops it into the Walkman, and it's Dorkspawn. She listens to us talk as humans, and then it's kind of a thing where it's like, that's how it fades.
It fades into me saying, hi, I'm Dylan, and I've never played a Fallout game.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played Fallout 100 billion times.
Welcome to Dorkspawn, a podcast where we play video games and discuss them chapter by chapter like a book club.
This week, we are talking about Fallout New Vegas, the Honest Hearts DLC. Honest Hearts DLC is the second DLC to come out. It is shorter and has less in it than Dead Money.
Way more fun. But it was way more fun.
I only played it once. It's okay.
It's okay.
There are some
bits.
There are some bits in it that I love. There's a character in this that I think is just the fucking coolest guy ever. It has what I will say is I think the most iconic line in Fallout New Vegas in this.
Oh, I wonder
DLC.
If it. No, it's not that.
No.
I wrote down something interesting, but it was not an iconic line.
Sure. Mm. How did you find it?
I found it to be a fun little. Oh, what is
racist?
Yeah, little. I was like,
it's deeply racist.
What is the word
it? Is one that even when I was an unwoke teenager, I played this game once and I was like, I had a weird feeling from this. When I was like 16, 17, and I didn't know fuck all about the world.
Yeah, something about it. Sitting,
16, 17 year old British teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Very importantly. We made it. You perfected it. That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say we perfected it, but no, you perfected it, to be fair. Yeah. Even then I was like, huh, it's okay. It's odd.
But still, there were some fun parts to it. I thought the beginning to this was very funny. In that. So you enter the cave.
Yes.
Where I had been already, but I just never, like, triggered the actual quest.
A fun thing, because you said you were, when you came here, one of the people was like, hey, go to Vault 22, which I think is very fun. Because I, literally the whole DLC was like, why did they ask you to go to Vault 22? That feels, like, so specific. Then I found out why. Because Vault 22 plays a middlingly pivotal role in Honest Hearts, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
In the backstory of Honest Hearts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That happened like all the way at the beginning of my playthrough, too.
Way at the beginning, yeah.
So I go back to the cave. And you tell the guy you're fine with leaving all your shit behind and all your people behind.
Yep.
And that's all well and good. And then you go in, you kind of like, so first of all, the first thing he says to you, and this is one of the things I find funny, is he's like, don't talk about Joshua Graham on the road. And then he's like, and don't talk about the Burning Man. I don't want you to hear you say those things because it's going to scare the bitches away or something like that. We get there and like we like get out. You're like in like these like big like canyon type like area. And you get out there and he's like, all right, let's head out. And then you're immediately attacked. You're immediately ambushed, like instantly.
And they all die.
And everybody dies.
Yeah, everyone dies, except for you.
Everybody dies instantly. I really did expect this to be like a like caravan type of quest where I was gonna be like leading people.
I knew all this happened. I didn't remember that everyone immediately beefs it. Yeah.
But then you are like, then you are immediately met by this problematic caricature who approaches you and is like, come with me to meet Joshua Graham. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So the whole don't talk about Joshua Graham thing lasts all of 5 seconds. And then you are on your way to go meet Joshua Graham. You get led a new monster in this area.
I guess
they're bearish. The Yaogai. Yeah.
Which is fun because a Yaogai is a very famous Fallout creature that isn't in New Vegas except for in this DLC. Which I think is fun.
Oh, interesting.
Yaogai makes an appearance in, I think, every other Fallout game. Except for New Vegas, and then it was in Honest Hearts. So I like the fact that they were like, this is where they live. They live in Zion Valley.
Fun.
Yeah,
fun.
It's cool. I like
Yeah, they're cool and very scary.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shapeshifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume, sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
You also see... I mean, what's a little bit interesting, like they the people who live here in the valley paint themselves with like these white markings so that they can blend in with like the chalk that naturally gathers on like the sides of the cliffs and things around here, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's also, he tells you that the... Oh, what are they called? Is it the group of people here? Is it the Sorrow?
Start with the Dead Horses, then you meet the Sorrow, and then technically, I guess, you meet the White Legs. Yeah.
Technically. Yeah, okay. But it's but
also what's
who
fun,
is...
just very briefly, this all takes place in Utah. You full ass walk to Utah. You get through. You're going to Zion Valley, and then it's like, yeah, you've been walking for it's like months.
Months.
Journey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that's neat. It's just so cool. It's like you're properly out of
Nevada.
Yeah, which is where you know most of the fallouts take place. I just think it's cool. Anyway, my apologies, Hugo.
No, you're so good. But I guess my confusion was because he tells you that they leave these like handprint markings on different buildings. And I'm just trying to remember who leaves the handprint markings.
Can't remember, but I know that there is a lot of sacred buildings that they deem themselves like not able to walk inside. And that is just a good way of being like, this is where you find things, in these sacred buildings, and that's the reason why they haven't all been looted to hell is because
because they're sacred.
They're locked up and sacred, yeah.
But he leads us through the abyss here, and we fight a bunch of, you know, mostly it's like stuff we've seen before except for the Yagrai. Which are cool and scary. And then we make it to their camp where we immediately meet Band-Aid Man, Joshua Graham.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Joshua Graham. A very, very iconic character in all of Fallout is Joshua Graham. He only appears in this, but I love him so bad. I think he's the coolest guy ever. So, we have previously talked about the Burned Man, who is, if you ever go to Caesar's camp and they're not hostile to you, like, a genuinely, like, 70 to 80% of the walk past lines are about the Burned Man and how nobody talks about him. They do give you a little bit of rundown before you get here. Jed Madison, who is the guy who is leading the caravan,
who invited
talks about
you.
It.
Yeah.
On the original Hoover Dam battle, original Battle of Hoover Dam, Caesar's right hand, who is Joshua Graham, Joshua Graham was known as this like hyper, hyper ruthless, evil, evil guy. And he lost the first Battle of Hoover Dam. And Caesar, in like a show of he won't accept failure from anyone full stop, covered Joshua Graham in tar, set him on fire, and threw him off the Hoover Dam. Joshua Graham survived and crawled his way back to Utah. And he, on the way, found religion. At the very, very beginning of us doing this, I would say one of my characters was a religious person. And I wanted to be like a Catholic religious guy. And I was talking about it with Viddy, who was, you know, guesting, as he often does.
Yeah.
And said, oh, because there's that other religious character. And I was like, yes. What? And then we were both like, one of the most interesting characters is that religious character, who is Joshua Graham. Joshua Graham has introduced Catholicism to Zion Valley, Utah.
Right.
Yes, and is a weird freak. Anyway, and then we meet him. We meet Joshua
Very
Graham.
Very weird freak. He does say something that I found interesting enough to write down. He says at one point, as he's meeting you, he's like, and you're a courier. Not the courier I expected, but he wouldn't have come with a caravan.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's all leading up to this other courier. The confrontation, this confrontation, which again, I cannot stress enough, I do not know what the confrontation between the two couriers is.
Yeah.
Very exciting for me personally.
Very, very exciting. Before you meet him though, I forgot this happens first, is that they're like, you have to... you're going to have to make a good impression on or impress Joshua in order for him to trust you or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And so they like want us to do to get Joshua. Well, we're getting supplies for Joshua, but
that's supplies for Daniel.
It's for Daniel.
Yeah, but he like, asks you to do that. Joshua asks you to go get supplies.
Joshua
for Daniel.
Asks. Yeah, yeah. But before we talk to Joshua, the person who led us there is like, you have to impress Joshua. And then when we talk to Joshua, he's like, you need to do these things and get these things and bring them to Daniel.
Yes.
Maybe that's not connected, but I was like, is this
sure. Yeah. Initiation.
But yeah, so... So you have to get some supplies and stuff. The quests are not too bad. Like they're not, you know what? Like, some of the fights are hard killing cause you have to kill a bunch of those, Yaograi as one of the things.
Yeah.
And that's a little hard. But nothing is like, like deviously
like tough or
tough and like nothing is like confusing or like hidden or like
sure it's pretty much go here do this
it's to kill those then you have there's also a camp that you could steal these things from. They're like I don't know, they're like these sort of tribal totems, I guess you would call them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I do think you can kill everybody there. Did you kill everybody there?
Oh, I slaughtered everyone. Do you know what's really fun? If you are a sneering imperialist, which I am, which is a perk you can pick up, you have so many unique dialogue options in this place where you are just horrific. You're like so cruel to everyone here. All of the people here, they have invented their own language because they've been secluded from everyone else from so long. Joshua Graham can speak this because he was a New Canaanite, which is another one of the tribes that belonged here. New Canaanites have died out because Caesar, on hearing Joshua Graham was alive, allied with the White Legs to send all the White Legs to just like kill and burn everything. Specifically, a guy called Salt Upon Wounds, who he sent to kill everyone. But yeah, if you're a searing imperialist, you can just pretty much be racist the whole time. Call everyone stupid and uncultured and uneducated and whatnot. It's an interesting thing that it's an interesting interaction that I just didn't consider being one. I picked up the perk, but you can't really use it that much in the main game. It doesn't matter that much. It is pretty much just a damage boost to anyone who isn't part of a faction, like raiders and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
But in this,
it gives you all this extra dialogue.
Huge amount of dialogue options. New dialogue options to
also,
Joshua Graham.
I did not realize you were
companions.
Talking about a perk for the first like 2 minutes you were talking. I thought you were just calling yourself that.
Of a snaring imperialist? The perk's name is Snaring Imperialist.
I just thought you were colorfully describing your
just
character.
Just colorfully describing how racist he was. No, yeah. it's literally a perk that gives you dialogue options, which is fun.
Very fun.
Yeah, it's cool and you can just be kind of horrendous throughout this whole section.
I was very nice to everybody. But then you get all that stuff, you find and bring it to Daniel, who's like
who's the leader
shit.
Of the Sorrows.
Yeah, and he's like, holy shit, I didn't think that we'd actually get any of this, thank you so much. He is, I think, the one that tells you to do
they're just trying to leave. That's all they want to do. The Sorrows just want to get out of Zion Valley. The White Legs are too powerful, and like Joshua Graham is really pro we should slaughter all of them indiscriminately, which that's his old Caesar roots coming out. But also, he also frames it as like, because he's really, he's very religious as well. He's like, no, we should, he's quote just unquote a good guy. Yeah. He is trying to help, but he's doing it in a very violent way. That's like his old, affiliation with, you know, this fascist group. And even though he's like, I turned over a new leaf, and everyone's like, yeah, the first time Joshua Graham came here, he was evil. The second time he was burnt and is far kinder. But his immediate reaction is like, we should just slaughter everyone that tries to step to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not what you have to do. You don't have, you can still get everybody out of Zion, and like essentially sneak them out. Without killing, with a little killing, but with very
with only a
killing.
Little killing,
only a tiny bit of killing, a normal video game amount of killing, and not wholesale. So let me guess: did you kill everyone?
Yeah. I tried to kill Joshua Graham the second I saw him. Failed, because that is a hard fight. And I failed. So I reloaded it. I then did some Googling to see if I was going to try
the
properly
second,
and do this.
Like when you enter the camp for the first time?
I entered the camp. I saw him. He makes it very clear that he is anti-Caesar, and is happy that Caesar died, which is what I did. I killed Caesar. And then I was like, oh, well, you're anti-Caesar. I'm going to see if I can kill you and if that's a valid option, which it is. It does, however, skip all of the DLC, because I did it later. It just skips everything because there's no argument in anything. You kill him. There is chaos in Zion Valley, and you pretty much just leave Zion Valley immediately, because like war is weird. So I reloaded and I decided instead to team up with Joshua Graham. Him being a Legion guy, we can team up on this. He's the strongest guy there, and that's good. He says some cool lines, notably, I have been baptized twice, once in water, once in flame. I will carry the fire of the Holy Spirit inside until I stand before my Lord for judgment, which is... just a very cool
really good.
And the iconic line is I've survived because the fire inside burned brighter than the fire around me. Fell down into that dark chasm, but the flame burned on and on, which is the iconic line is I survived because the fire inside burned brighter than the fire around me, which is fucking awesome.
No, it's
the
amazing.
Coolest guy in the world. Anyway, I also did a shit ton of drugs, but in an educational way. In this, there is a quest where you go on essentially like a spirit journey. That's just kind of what it is. You fight a like burning effigy Yaogmai, which is real. Kind of. And I decided that Jake is tweaking like crazy.
Traveled
3 months, used up all of his drugs by the time he got in, and is now in kind of like a drugless place.
Except for the peyote.
kind of got clean, because was forced to be. And then did these drugs, and then kind of like quote unquote also saw God with Joshua Graham. He is now also very religious, however, is taking a different swing about it, where, oh, I understand. Caesar is right. and we should be doing all these things because that's how we bring about a good wasteland.
Oh, no.
And has fully gone evil fascism with the help of Joshua Graham saying, you know, this is kind of what we need to do. And he was like, yeah, sure, I agree. Is a little less cowardly now and is more just, this is kind of what needs to be done.
Right, right, right. Wow.
Yeah.
And he almost had a turn, but but over a week ago.
But over a week ago in Dead Money.
He almost had a turn, but instead he learned a different lesson. That
yes.
it's time to be more straightforward evil.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it where it's like he had this moment where he's like, oh, well, you can't take it with you, so maybe I don't need to do this. And then he... Oh, I also did more missions for the Legion in this time, like in the
did
time
you
between.
Really?
And then we did this travel and I met Joshua Graham. And this is a very, this DLC is the most tied to, kind of, I actually haven't played the final one, obviously. Dead Money is its own separate story.
Right.
The next DLC, which is Big Mountain, that it's its own separate story. This is part of the world of New Vegas. This is about Legion.
It
it's about
really,
Joshua
yes.
Graham. Yeah.
It does feel very, very grounded. And like I wouldn't have been surprised to just accidentally travel here like while roaming the game. Yeah, it does feel very much like a part of the game.
Which is fun because there's of the four DLCs, there are two... You just kind of walk there DLCs, which is the final one against the Courier, or that tells the story of the Courier, rather. And then this one, which is you're going to Zion Valley. And the other two are you get kidnapped and put in a place DLCs, which I think is just kind of a fun... There's two goofy ones where you kind of get kidnapped and you're telling a separate story. And then two, you walk from Vegas to somewhere to expand the story of Vegas.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I did as many violent things as possible. Yeah, and was bad and bad.
And bad.
I did also start eating people because I
Oh
didn't.
My god.
Yeah. So I've
well,
just
yeah.
started I was starting eating people in the void. This is a good DLC if you use melee weapons. How did you find that?
I found that pretty good, although I have been using my flamethrowers.
Good. You took the flamethrower with you.
I took a flamethrower with me.
They were like, only take the essentials. And your character was like, this flamethrower is essential. Thank you
essential.
So much.
Yeah. Very fucking Spaceballs moment. Yeah. But I did find melee was way easy in this. Also, like, I don't know. Lots of little easy to complete little side quests. Also, fast traveling in a DLC. Cool.
Is fun. Hopping
we
around.
Love that you can just bounce around in the DLC area and not have to walk everywhere. Deeply, deeply love and appreciate. I did not. I was like, let's sneak everybody out of here. I do not want to kill everybody here. That doesn't sound good to me. And then when you're getting everybody out, you also oh my god, you said his name earlier, Chalk guy.
Follows
Chalk. Because, like, Follows Chalk guy is,
Dead Horses?
Yeah. Basically, like, Joshua Graham and company wants to kill him?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean Daniel?
Daniel wants
to- Follows Chalk is your companion- Your Dead Horse's companion, and then you also have a your Sorrow's companion on Walking Cloud. A Waking Cloud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah. So So they want you to kill him, or they want to kill him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if you just got out of here? What if you just
That's
left?
Crazy.
What if you just skedaddled and they wow. didn't kill you?
That's
and
fun.
then I was like, well, all right, cool. Everybody's cool. Everybody walk out. Everybody face fucking forward.
Everyone be chill.
Everybody be fucking chill. And then let's fucking leave. And blow up the
like tunnel.
The tunnel so that nobody can come back here.
Crazy.
And,
wow.
And that's it.
Whoa. Yeah.
And that's
it. Fun.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So did you not have
mine was
the
different.
Option to kill Fallen
no.
Shock?
Because I decided to join Joshua Graham, he was like, okay, great, let's just go do this then. Daniel was deeply upset by this and was like, was just sad that the choice was made to
yeah.
fight. Because he was like, we just can't, it's just fighting consistently is just not stable or sustainable. Sorry, not stable. We rallied the dead horses and the sorrows joining us to fight against the white legs. We went through, we just killed an unholy amount of people. Mm-hmm. And then the final boss fight we walked into a place and then, oh, Joshua Graham also becomes your companion if you agree to join him. Very cool.
Oh, that's pretty sick. Yeah.
He has a crazy, like, companion buff of, like, whenever you... Because a thing about the new Canaanites is they all exclusively use a 45 caliber guns, like pistols and machine guns. Which is a weird thing that Joshua Graham says. But his thing is, if you're using a 45 caliber gun, you have, like, double crit chance and something else crazy. I can't necessarily remember what it is, but it's as long as you're using those guns, he just like is a very powerful companion.
Yeah.
You go through, you get to the final zone. There is no final cutscene because you walk into the final area and Joshua Graham has everyone like on their knees and is like shooting people in the back of the head, gets to the final villain, Salt Upon Wounds, who's the leader of the White Legs. Salt Upon Wounds begs you to talk some sense into Joshua Graham. You can either kill him yourself, get Joshua Graham to stand down.
Salt Upon Wounds is who I'm talking about, not Chalk.
Fantastic.
Salt
Upon
Wounds.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. There's a and it's interesting because there's a lot of characters in this, but you can't interact with a lot of them meaningful ways, except for literally just Joshua Graham. In my opinion, anyway. And then he begs you to... And you can either kill him yourself, let Joshua kill him, or you can try to talk some sense into Joshua to get him to calm down. I picked the sneering imperialist option, which is to make fun of him. Make fun of his broken English as he's talking to you, and then Joshua Graham shoots him in the back of the head. It is so evil.
Oh,
it is like
my
a
God.
Genuinely cruel... option that I was so shocked was there. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that just to see what happens. Salt Upon Wounds, as soon as you mock him for his English, is like horrified at you, says a comment about how or like insane what you just did is, and then Joshua Graham shoots him in the back of the head and kills him.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then
it goes to the like end closing thing. The dead horses become hyper militaristic and violent under Joshua Graham's rule. The sorrow Daniel tries to lead the sorrows to be good, but ultimately fails. The sorrows and the dead horses continue to butt heads because of their violence, and then the sorrows also become like militaristic and bad. Daniel sadly leaves. All of the white legs are like decimated. Joshua Graham rules upon high in all of Zion Valley. Everyone knows not to like fuck with him at all. He becomes incredibly powerful. I then take Joshua Graham's clothes because when you close it, you get his gun, you get his clothes. These legendary items, his clothes, his gun. And then Jake puts on his clothes, takes his gun, and then decides to become the new Joshua Graham, walking back to Caesar, being like, oh, I'm just going to lead the Legion then. That's what I'm going to do. Because if he's doing it here, I tried to find Joshua Graham post-game to execute him, and you can't. But in my mind, Jake literally went out, found Joshua Graham, killed him for being anti-Caesar, took his clothes, his gun, his clothes being bandages, literally moldy bandages that he puts on himself, and then walks back to Vegas.
Wow.
So he's gone full. We're in the final act. He's gone full evil, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Daniel did in my epilogue get the Sorrows all back home. Mm-hmm. And Joshua Graham became a legend.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, like kind of faded into obscurity, became a myth.
Became a legend, and then it was like, it's something like not his religion. Like, his religion isn't remembered. Because it's like not the Canaanites, or it's like not the Canaanites, but Joshua Graham himself becomes the legend.
Oh, fun. So his tribe is the new Canaanites. They kind of fall into... Right. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. I like that. Another thing which I like is, if you want to learn the story of Zion Valley, and this is where Vault 22 comes in relevance. There are terminals in a bunch of caves of a survivalist named Randall Clark, who tells the story of like a 40-year time span, I think, from a few weeks before the bombs drop, the day the bombs drop, and then his life post it. He's a, like, an ex-military, he's a survivalist, he's literally out here to just, like, he's just doing a camping trip. He watches the bombs fall. He knows that his wife and kid, he, like, watches the bombs fall on his wife and kid, or, like, in, you know, in the city, which they are, in Utah. He then tries to kill himself several times, but fails. Just kind of lives being a survivalist. There's a lot of interesting stuff where he is commenting on what the world in, like, obviously a place that hasn't bombed, like, what it looks like. He talks about how everything is dead, like, the nothing lived. He doesn't see anyone for eight. Oh, he does see people. He finds this old couple the day the bombs dropped, whose eyes exploded because they watched the bomb fall. And they're both panicking, and he sits them down and then executes the pair of them. And then years later, he finds this one woman who's from Vault 22. She escaped Vault 22 before all the, like, nature thing stuff took over, or as it was getting taken over. They get together. She ends up getting pregnant. There's a lot about his guilt, about the fact that he hasn't told his current partner about his old wife and son, because he's like, that's just that. It doesn't want to seem like he's replacing them at all. She dies in childbirth. His son, the baby also dies during childbirth as well. He then finds all of Vault 22 because he is kind of this, like, boogeyman to them. A person who lives in the, like, fucking lives in the mountains. Mm-hmm. He finds them. Oh, they find him, rather. I can't necessarily remember what happened to them, but they have all escaped Vault 22. All of the nature stuff has exploded and gone crazy. The spore carriers and everything. Then, like 30 years later, he finds a group of children who have escaped something, looks after them, teaches them what he knows of the world and also the world pre-war. And then he gets lung cancer. He dies in like the mountains, and they all know him as the father of the caves. And then those children grow up, have kids. And then that is who the residents, like these tribes are all descended from. These tribes are all descended from the kids that he taught. And then there's a lot of people in the Sorrows that reference the father in the caves, and they're referencing him. Whenever you find one of his terminals that explain like a few months, like a year or two in like three different terminal entries, it's like next to like a huge cache of food and guns and recipes and a bunch of things that he teaches you. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting little story as to how this came to be, and it's also related to Vault 22. A group of 118 former dwellers of Vault 22 traveled to Utah, and they ended up in Zion Canyon. And they found a bunch of Mexican refugees who had been living there for weeks. And the Vault Dwellers then killed most of the refugees. And then, killed and ate them. And the Vault 22 group becomes the White Legs. And the Mexican refugees become the Sorrow. The Mexican refugees become someone else. And I think maybe they become the new Canaanites. And then the children that Randall Clark finds become the Sorrows. I think that's what it is.
Holy shit.
Anyway, it's a lot. I didn't get all of the pieces, so I am grabbing from the wiki right now. But it's an interesting little like thing of how this current situation came to be with a bunch of different people. And it's another like, hey, all the people from the vault are evil, which I always like.
I really like that.
It's cool. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's it. How did you feel about it?
Cool. I liked it. I mean, I felt considerable less stress about it than the last DLC.
Sure. Yeah.
I liked it. I I'm sure I missed stuff. Although I did all the little side quests that you get along the way. But I may have missed stuff, but I don't think I missed too much. But I would have liked a little bit more time with the characters, especially Joshua Graham and Daniel. But all things considered, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty fun.
I think it's fine. I think it's pretty good to fine. There's this weird thing of we've just come off the back of Dead Money, where all of the companions are outstanding. And, like, weirdly, the main focal point in Father Elijah is pretty weak. We don't really learn a lot about him. To now, where all of the companions are pretty trash, but Joshua Graham is fantastic. It's one of those... It's a weird, like, they decide to just do a 180 on who they focused on.
And just go fucking crazy with it. Yeah.
But I really love Joshua Graham. I think he's such a cool character.
He's really cool. Yeah, he's really cool. I just would have liked a little bit more, like minute time with him, which I guess you can get if you do side with him.
He refuses to kind of, like, you can't do any interesting character interactions, but so it's weird. It's like the first time you meet him, you can't talk to him a lot because he's like, no, do all this stuff for Daniel.
Yeah.
Then after you do all that stuff for Daniel, you can then talk to him, and he has a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Talks about his religion, talks about his opinions on Caesar. Like his religion and all this stuff. And then if you don't take the opportunity to talk to him, then even if he becomes a companion,
kind of just done.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just kind of that one moment.
But
there's some fun stuff. I mean, walking around the quote unquote sacred sites, there's a lot of like, this is just, it's like perfectly preserved. This is what the world was like beforehand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, yeah, preserved food and things that I think is fun. A lot of interesting enemies. Again, the Yaogai are cool. These, like, irradiated bears. And there's also these... Because we have giant praying mantises, but now we have Zion praying mantises, which are praying mantises that have just been just free roam to, like, breed and get huge. It's a massive amount of Cazadors in this zone as well.
Yeah.
A lot of big radiated creatures.
Big stuff, yeah.
Which I think is fun. But yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's a fine DLC. I like how small the overworld is. We are just about to hit Big Mountain, which is a bigger... It's a bigger overworld. It's another one which is like... It's just like this. It's essentially this, but slightly bigger. And I don't love how big one that is, because it's nowhere near the size of, obviously, the overworld map, but it's just big enough to be like, okay, walking here is going to take me a while.
Right.
But I like how small and contained Zion Valley is.
Yeah, I did like that.
There's a lot of little things. I really love the story with Randall Clark and that like, the forming of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the diary entries are really well written. I think Joshua Graham is fantastic. But yeah, aside from that, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's serviceable.
It's
pretty good. It does, yeah. Has some cool light in it. It's weirdly, they got the guy who plays Lee Everett in the first season of the Walking Dead Telltale game to play Jed Madison and then also do the intro and outro.
Which
I really liked because I like him as a voice actor. I think he's really great. I just think it's so weird that he does the outro but is dead.
Yeah.
He dies immediately.
Oh, that is really weird. Yeah, he's dead. And it's not an option. It's not like you can't.
I know.
Save him.
I was kind of. I have it all up here because I was like, oh, I want to find out if it's possible to have him live. And I don't think. I don't think he is. I think he just immediately dies. Oh, there's a fun thing as well when they have on the party leading in. It's fun because they give everyone a lot of, like, story. Before the DLC starts, like, Jed Madison and the three people accompanying you all
they
have a lot to
a
say.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
Oh, this guy is from a vault, and he has a Pip-Boy, and because we didn't know you had a Pip-Boy, obviously. But we have him here so we can track, like, on maps, like, where we're supposed to be going and stuff. And there's this lady who's, like... She's sour, but she's got a heart of gold. And then you get there and they're all executed immediately.
Immediately.
Like, the guy who's wearing the vault suit is running away screaming, I stole all this, please don't kill me. Gets fucking shot down instantly. It's pretty fun. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the DLC.
That's it.
So, I'm going to ask this every week. Are we continuing?
We're continuing. Because the next one is the next DLC.
The next one will be the next DLC.
Let's do it.
Fantastic. Okay, so the next DLC that we are going to be... let me get this up. I just want to get the name correct. So it's Old World Blues.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
Okay, yeah.
This is going to be a fun one because it is pretty exclusively a comedy.
Love
in a way that I think is really fun. It is one of the easier ones. Like, there is a lot of story stuff, but it is very funny. It's really goofy and stupid, and I really like it a lot. I've also only played this. Oh no, I've played this one a couple times, but I've only like really logged into it once. It takes place on Big Mountain, which was mentioned in Dead Money by several people.
Yeah.
This is the one which is the science fiction drive-in theater broadcast that is going on.
Yes, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you go to this one through that. It is another. You get kidnapped and you lose all your items.
I was gonna say it's a kidnapping one, right?
It's a kidnapping one.
Great.
It's very good. I actually am not sure how long it is. Let me have a check. Let me do Old World Blues. How long to be? I think this is a little more Dead Money length. It's about 8 hours. Okay, so that's about dead money. Like, it takes about 8 hours to beat.
Sure.
This one is only like 3 to 4 hours, and you could really feel it and how short it is.
Yeah.
It's good though. It's another open world one, so you kind of get dropped in. And you get to do stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
Cool.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. I love it very much.
I love you very much.
Oh, thank you. However,
there
is bad news, and I am sorry about it.
Is the bad news that the game was rigged?
It was rigged from the start. Yeah.
Oh,
Soz.
I knew it.
Soz game. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh. No.